everyone. This is Coach Fab for Casinos USA, and we're into episode 21 on this June 22nd, 2017. It's the same damn thing and more. And of course, we're referring to a pun we made 2 weeks ago in discussing Boulder Dam and Hoover Dam. The workers who built Hoover Dam lived in Boulder City, and they called it Boulder Dam. Of course, the federal government had other ideas and named a dam after President Hoover. But as we punned, it's the same damn thing, because they both are the same dam. So let's get right into casino group therapy. And you know, when you're planning to go on a casino road trip or a vacation, which involves a casino in some extent, you're pretty excited. But is anybody more excited than caller Nick, a frequent caller to our podcast? Well, here's caller Nick.
Hey, this is Nick from Collinsville, PA. Just wanted to let Coach Fab and all of Casinos USA know that tomorrow is my trip to Atlantic City that I talked about a few weeks ago. Can't wait to keep you updated. Sometime during the week, I'll try to call a couple times and let you know how it's going. Weather looks pretty good right now. Looks like low 80s, maybe a chance of rain there in a few days, but yeah, that's all right, because for this week, every day is Saturday for me. So, hey, Casinos USA and Coach Fab, I'll be in touch.
We're looking forward to Nick's call. You know, Nick was one of those callers who weighed in when we had our Atlantic City versus Las Vegas podcast. And living in the greater Pittsburgh area, he weighed in on Atlantic City because he can get there in, what, 5 hours, 6 hours, and be on the boardwalk. If he leaves early in the morning, he said he can be on the boardwalk for lunch. So God bless, Nick. I know it's your anniversary vacation, as you mentioned in the last podcast, and we're looking forward to your casinos report. Well, back to our casino group therapy. You know, this practice of calling podcasts and giving trip reports or writing trip reports for other bloggers and then having your trip report posted, that's fine. And it's sort of like a vicarious experience. I personally enjoy listening to trip reports on all the gambling podcasts that I listen to. And I also read the bloggers' trip reports. There's nothing wrong with that. But if our podcast was just, well, you know, we went here, and then we played craps there, and then we met Fred and Jane there, and then we had pizza, and then we went back to there, then we went to bed. You know what? I'd be out of this podcast hobby pretty quick. We said from the beginning, you know, we'll talk about gaming strategies. And Janie, of course, my loving wife, she's going to start the podcast today with discussing a very controversial article, which, you know, on first hearing it or reading it, it can't be right. You know, 9 reasons why you should play slot machines rather than play blackjack. I mean, where would you get advice like that? You know, everyone says blackjack's one of the best games in a casino, but not slot machines. Well, keep an open mind as Janie reviews 9 reasons you should play slots instead of blackjack.
This is an article by Randy Ray, and it was published on April 15th, 2017. We were both interested in reading this article because, obviously, I'm the slot machine player, and Coach Fav is a table game player, preferably craps, as you already know. And so, in reading it, one of his points, he has 9 points there. And he's saying you can find plenty of reasons to play slots instead of blackjack, and I definitely could too. The first one is that there's no strategy necessary. Well, now, I think that's a big one for me, because when you play blackjack, I'm a nervous wreck from the first time I ever tried playing it in one of the Las Vegas casinos, the dealer was yelling at me because I wasn't doing something right. So you definitely have to know the protocol before, and there was only Coach Fav and I at the table.
Yeah, it's a little different. Like, you know, you have to think and you got to be alert, I guess, in blackjack.
Whereas, well, an astute. I mean, she was not pleasant, not nice, and it may have just been her. But anyway, you need to make decisions. Every hand you're dealt, you have requires you to decide if you want to stand or hit. And sometimes you need to think about doubling down, surrendering, or splitting. And if you use a strategy card or have memorized the best strategy, you need to make sure you're making the best play.
Yeah, and then I know Jeff talks about this. When you're at a blackjack table, like your bets, whether you take a card or not, can influence everybody else.
So there's pressure, like what he calls the house rules.
Right. If you don't do what the house thinks you should do, then everybody's upset with you, right?
Right. So, oh, I would.
With the slot machine, you know, the people beside you aren't going to be upset with you.
Well, but those that strategy is important if you want to reduce the house edge as much as possible.
All right.
But when you play slots, you don't need to think about anything if you don't want to. Most people I know, my friends that play them, you just concentrate on the game. You want to go to get a bonus, and then you like to be interactive with it if possible.
That's a different take. All right, what's next?
Okay, the next one is the bigger top prizes. When you play blackjack, the most you can usually win on one hand is 1.5 times your original bet. This happens to be when you get a blackjack and get paid 3-2.
Well, that's the way it should be paid. I mean, a lot of people are paying that great now. But it's if you're going to play blackjack at a place that plays 3-2, they're doing you the right thing.
Right, right. But if you double down or split and win both hands, you win 2 times your original bet, but you also have to double your bet.
Yeah, but that's not important. So it's the idea that slots pay. I mean, let's talk about...
Well, you can't... If you're playing a progressive, you know, they sometimes have jackpots over $1 million, and many machines have top prizes of 10,000 or more. And you can win thousands on one single spin. We know a lot of people who have done that.
Well, at the Rivers Casino this week, they posted that somebody on a 30-cent bet in Keno, I think, won $15,000. So that'll never happen in blackjack.
Well, there. The top prizes on the slots aren't hit often, but the possibility is at least there. And when you play blackjack, it's just not possible.
All right, so no strategy, and then bigger top prizes.
Yeah, the bigger top prizes, right? And you get to pick the machine. You can go around and see what's paying the most. You can pick a progressive. I always, every visit to a casino, play some progressives. So you can see which one. The progressives aren't going to pay a lot of lower prizes, but you get to make that choice.
What was this third one then?
More open seats. I mean, how many times have you gone to the blackjack table and found it full or almost full?
Yeah, that's. I understand that because, you know, you want to play blackjack and there's not an open seat, what are you going to do, right? But slots, there's some slot machine
open. Yes, anymore, you know, you might have to wait depending on if you want a specific machine. But usually there are definitely seats available.
Remember how shocked we were at Meriden Live with how many slots they had? It was over 4,000 slots.
Well, and you and I have played slots together, so, you know, you're able to do that, too. And some of those games have the double seats.
Yeah, I think it's true. Slots can be more social. You can talk, you can go at your own pace, et cetera.
Because you're not under pressure to, you know, keep to your strategy and watch how everybody else, you have to be aware of how everybody else on the table's betting.
Okay, so...
And if they're taking their cards or not.
Yeah, more open seats. Okay, and what's the fourth one?
Fewer neighbors.
Well, if you don't want neighbors, right?
Right. If you don't want to be social and you don't want to talk, you just want to chill out, obviously, you just go and sit wherever you want in an area where there isn't anybody else, and you never have to talk to anybody if you don't want to, but you have to be aware of the other people.
Okay. What's the next one?
Okay. The fifth one, no illusions of beating the house. Okay. Many blackjack players have the illusion that they can beat the house. Just the other day, I ran into someone I hadn't seen in years, and he told me he never loses at blackjack.
Get out of here. That can't be true.
Well, I people will say that. And while a few people are able to beat blackjack by counting cards, there aren't many people who do it consistently. But if you play smart with good rules, you can play with a low house edge.
Yeah, when that's not a reason to play slots.
Well, when you play slots, you shouldn't have the illusion that you can beat the house. And most people, I don't think, do. But back to the first people who say they never lose at blackjack, I really think what they mean is they're going to lose a hand here and there. They don't lose big. Now, maybe they don't play big either. I'm not sure. But I never believe that when someone says that.
Well, I think I told you this. I mean, I know I did. I was with somebody unnamed that lost $30,000 in blackjack. So I would call that losing big.
Right, yeah, okay, I remember that. Well, when you play, okay, you don't have the illusion when you play slots. That
yeah,
you're
you know it's
tough.
A long shot.
You might have the illusion that you could win some big money.
Yeah, but you know it's a long shot.
Well, and slot machines are designed to take your money a little at a time. You know, they have a programmed payback percentage that forces the machine to keep a certain amount of every dollar that gets wagered on the machine. And in the short term, you can win, but the more you play, the closer your actual results will come to the expected results. Now,
yeah,
here's
so
an example.
Over the long haul, what happens?
Well, a slot machine with a 95% payback percentage keeps 5 cents of every dollar wagered on it on average. Any single spin can award a prize or keep your entire wager. But over time, the machine will average a 5% profit on every dollar wagered. If $100,000 is bet on the machine, it's going to have a profit of almost exactly $5,000. And over the course of the 100,000 worth of spins, it pays out some wins and keeps all of the bets on others.
I know, you know, when you're losing at slots, you think, oh, this is, you know, one-armed bandit. But the truth of it is, slots are regulated, you know, by the state
right.
Commissions. And, you know, they do give back a lot of money. That, you know, in Pennsylvania, it's 89-90%, you know.
Well, you can get this information
given
from
back.
The casino.
Yeah,
they have to make it public.
And people that say that's not true, look, no casino is going to risk their license with a crooked slot machine in today's world.
And that's why each state has a gaming board, and that's who checks it.
All right, so what's this? What's we at number six now?
Six is okay. The variety. Okay, blackjack, we know is blackjack. It's pretty much the same no matter where you play. The rules may vary slightly from one game to the next, but overall, blackjack's the same.
Well,
but
there's a ton of slots.
Well,
there are.
I mean, there's hundreds of different games, and you can play the latest video slots, the old-fashioned three-reel machines, progressive jackpots, and many other machines with unique features now.
Now, I guess, I mean, maybe not in Randy Ray's article, but there's even skill-based games
I can't wait to see those. I said in one of the broadcasts about the Clue game that lasted for about a year in Las Vegas, and I never saw it anywhere else, where you had to actually play the game like you play the board game almost.
All right, I would have to agree with the writer here that there's a lot of variety with slots.
Well, I'm not done, though.
Okay.
There's simple rules.
Is that one of the seven reasons?
One of the nine reasons. Once you learn to play blackjack, the rules are fairly simple, but different games do have different rules sometimes. But when you play slots, the rules are the same no matter where you are. You put your money in, you choose your pay line, any amount per line, and either hit the spin button or pull the handle.
Aren't you pretty much pay 30, 40, 50 cents, something like that?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh, well, I will pay $1, $1.50, $2.
Did you ever walk into one of those high-limit rooms and just say, I'm going to try a $5 one turn?
No, I know you do that, but I never have done that. However, I did an $8 spin the other day.
$8 spin?
Yeah, but it was a mistake.
Oh, it was a mistake.
I started this brand-new machine, didn't know, and anyway, and I got nothing out of it.
All right, so we're on rule number 8.
You can play as slow as you want.
Oh, that's big with me. Well, what do you think about that? I mean, I know I play, when we share a slot machine, I play way too slow.
Oh, you do play slower than me that way, but because you're playing with a dealer and other players, you can only play as fast as a dealer can deal and the rest of the players play. You can slow down a little, but for the most part, you have to play at the rate the table is playing. And that might be comfortable for most people.
I know sometimes when I'm sitting at a video poker at a bar, I play really slow.
Well, you do, but that's all right.
But that's my right. That's what's cool about slots. You can play as slow as you want
to. And some people, you know, they have a budget. They don't want to go over it, so they want to make their money last.
All right. And the last one?
You can make your money go longer on slots, depending on how you play it.
That's the rule?
Well.
That's a ninth reason?
No, that's not the nine.
Oh,
that's
I'm sorry.
I just added that in there.
All right.
You can have lower minimum bets. When you play live blackjack, the minimum bet per hand is usually $5 or more.
That's hard to find $5 tables.
It is. And in some casinos, if you want to play with better rules, you're forced to bet 10 or 20 as a minimum per hand.
That's right. And then how about MGM National? You couldn't...
Well...
The tables we were there on a weekend, it was a $50 minimum blackjack table. Get out!
I don't see them ever coming down much there. Everything's like that there.
Yeah, well, they have the population there.
Right. And when you play slots, though, you can find machines that offer spin as low as a nickel at some casinos. You can find slots for a quarter a spin. Now,
I don't know if it's still there, but I remember we took your mother to Salamanca in New York, tribal casino.
Mm-hmm.
And if I recall, this was the early days of penny slots. She was playing a penny.
Right.
Yeah.
I know.
I don't think you can do that anymore, but she was playing one penny.
And I just said to her, why would you play that? But that's because she just wanted to. That's what she thought was kind of cool.
It makes the authors...
I said at least play a penny on each line, okay?
Okay. Well, yeah, there's a lot of interesting reasons here that I would have never thought of. I'll give them credit. There's something to think about here. So how would you wrap this up there?
Well, I mean, it's what everybody likes to play, but I wouldn't ever say any, or, you know, I don't agree with that philosophy that you shouldn't play slots, you know, that they're just one-armed bandits. Yeah, they are. It can be, but you can control how you play, how much you bet. There's just more in your control, at least for me, for my comfort level. As I said, craps, I don't feel that same pressure like I do in blackjack. Just seems too uptight, sitting there, you know, and worrying about what everybody else has dealt, and if I should turn down a card or take it. And so I don't feel that in craps, though, either.
No, I'll tell you what, I would agree with you. You know, I play blackjack with Jeff. You know, he's a member of Casinos USA. He lives out of state. But if he's not around at a casino, I don't want to play blackjack. I kind of feel stressed out with that, too, because, you know, you go off on a whim, which I do in craps. You know, I play hunches and craps a lot. And blackjack, you set the whole table off when you do that.
Oh,
so.
I know.
All right, so.
I mean, roulette's even easier because the way you pick, you know, you're not really affecting you're not going to annoy everybody else. Well, you might annoy them just by the way you are, but you won't.
Okay, I'm going to tell you the 10th reason. 10th reason why I play slots.
Well, you hardly even play them.
But
I
when
can't
I
wait
do,
to hear this.
It's to be close to you.
Oh, yeah, right, because I try to get you to play, but you'll play video poker.
Yeah, I like video poker.
And that's really about it, although you've been lucky on Wheel of Fortune, just so lucky on that one. And when the last time we went to the casino, last weekend, every machine, you got the bonus on the first spins.
Yeah, just call me Mr. Lucky,
yeah,
Coach Lucky, huh?
I know. Me, I'm sitting there for an hour and haven't gotten them one bonus.
Well, you know, our friend Nick, Atlantic City Nick, called in again. He's been there for 2 days, and he's a slot player. He's been playing Keno slots, so we're going to run that next and see how Nick is doing.
Hey, actually, Keno slots to me sounds like an oxymoron because you have a Keno game and you have a slot machine, and I don't know how you mix the two too well. I've watched people do it. I've never played it. Maybe I should try playing it.
Well, I played it with Nick, you know, just to sit around and, you know, talk about things. But I guess you could say video poker is like that, too, because there's a poker room if you want to really play real poker.
No, but that's still, I see that as two different. Okay.
Well, thanks for the report on, that's Randy Ray, the author, 9 Reasons Slots Are Better Than Blackjack. There's some good reasons.
Okay, maybe someone would call in and tell us what really, why blackjack's better than slots. Maybe you have some experience and you're really good at it.
All right, well, thank you, Jenny. Let's take a short break and come right back with Caller Nick.
Hey, this is Nick from Carnival. I'm now beginning our third day, me and my wife here in Atlantic City. The first 2 nights playing-wise, we're playing. That's about all I can say. The keno's not hitting. The ones we hit on the most, just getting some points, is the Cleopatra Keno. But Bally's has some new cool games where they do have an electronic big 6 wheel now, just like spinning the wheel at the regular casino, and also an electronic horse race, where you can play the horses and bet on the horses from sitting just in an electronic machine, and they actually race in front of you. It's really pretty neat, really pretty neat. But overall, so far, nothing to report on in the hit right now. Just sitting out on the beach, enjoying the ocean. The weather here is about 82 and sunny this Tuesday morning. So I'll keep everybody posted. The food out in Atlantic City is good. We get a Pepo Italian restaurant. They have a Rainforest Cafe. We're visiting P.F. Chang's tonight. And they have a great Johnny Rockets for breakfast in our hotel. So everybody take care. And like I said, for me this week, every day is Saturday, and I am loving life. We'll talk to you soon. Bye.
Hearing about that ocean scene was, what, 116 today in Vegas? Atlantic City sounds pretty appealing, Nick. But we love Nick's attitude. You know, he kind of has what we all have here in Casinos USA. It's recreational gambling. It's life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. You know, the attitude we go through life is like every day is Saturday. And we're doing okay. And I think that's a great, great character trait, Nick. And looking forward to meeting up with you again, playing a little Keno slot. Or slot Keno, as my wife calls it. So either way, I hope the machines get a little looser for you. But boy, the other things that you're talking about sound like a whole lot of fun. I want to talk just a moment in this casino group therapy to blackjack players. I've come across, you know, in my research and in my times in casinos, two blackjack strategies that seldom work. They seldom work. You know, I mean, all strategies in table games, you know, work at some point. It's a limited amount of time. But how about this one? Like, never bust. So you can't take a card when you're in danger of busting. Just regardless of what it is, you know, once you get to 12, then, you know, you're going to just stay. Like, you know, so you don't take any chances. You don't take any risk. And the idea is that the dealer will bust and you won't. So, you know, that might work for a short period of time, but that's a pretty shaky strategy, the never bust strategy. The other one seems like it might have some, you know, strength there. And the second one I want to refer to is just mimic the dealer. You know, play blackjack the way the dealer plays blackjack. And that really goes against perfect blackjack strategy, because the dealer is forced to stay, you know, at a certain number, depending on the casino. And so just mimic the dealer. And it's a better strategy than the never bust strategy. But still, the strategy that works most often is playing perfect house strategy. And that's where you can rely on strategy cards and learning the game. You can also rely on software to teach you what to do and how to do it. So if you play, you know, perfect strategy, obviously you're going to enhance your chances of winning with the game of blackjack. I know in craps I rail against perfect strategy sometimes, and it's a different game, and that's why. But in blackjack, especially when I'm playing with Jeff, I try to play just the way he plays, because he doesn't think about intuition, gaming intuition, table intuition, momentary decisions. He just wants to play perfect strategy, thinking that gives him the best chance to win. Just an example of basic strategy, you know, that he always plays. He'll always split aces and eights. Doesn't matter what you think, he'll always split aces and eights, because it's basic strategy. You know, so if you imitate the dealer, you know, if a player busts, the dealer wins instantly, even if it turns out that she loses later. So that's the difference. And so you really can't imitate the dealer precisely. So you play basic strategy to be competitive. And, you know, we're not talking about card counting. That's something that few people can do consistently, particularly with, you know, the multi-deck machines in today's casinos. But we're talking about playing basic strategy. It's a way to go with blackjack. So, yeah, don't be like me. You know, playing table intuition and whims the way I do in craps. That's a different game, and I'll argue for that in craps, but I'm not going to argue for that in blackjack. Okay, let's take a short break. We're going to talk about how we teach people to play craps, at least one thing that we do we think is so important. And secondly, we're going to talk about our ICDC crap strategy. We're playing it recently, and we're having a lot of fun with it, and we'd like to share it with you. Now, I'm not going to refer to the protocol of the game, you know, how to go to a table and turn your cash into chips and all that. That's something that new players have to learn, and that's very important. You know, the protocol, what you do before you actually are able to bet in craps. But what I always do to teach players the game is rather simple, but it's also very important. I have them put the table minimum on the pass line. So let's say we're at a $5 table. So they put a $5 chip on the pass line and a $5 chip on the don't pass line. And I say, okay, now watch what happens. I mean, so you just do that over and over again until they grab the idea on the come-out rule. The pass line wins on a 7-11. The don't pass line wins on a 2 or a 3. It pushes on a 12. And then as the game continues, if those numbers aren't rolled, a point is established, and the pass line is going to win if somebody throws the established point number before a 7. Or they're going to learn that the don't pass line wins if somebody throws a 7 before the established point number is rolled. So that sounds so basic if you're a craps player, but that's fundamental in understanding the game. And I think everything else comes off of that. You know, before we talk about place bets, hard numbers, hopping numbers, those kinds of things, hedging bets, it's just so important that people learn the distinctions between the pass line and the don't pass line. That's very important. And, you know, they're not putting any money at risk. Well, the only thing they're risking is if a 12 is rolled, they'll lose the pass line bet and they won't win anything because it's a push on the don't pass. But that would happen if they were just playing the pass line. So I don't, I tell them that could happen and explain it. And if it happens, then they learn that too. So again, I have people bet the pass line and I'm standing right beside them and the don't pass line, etc. Now then later on, I can teach them, well, you know, if you don't want to put yourself at risk in the come out role, then you can lift your don't pass line up and you're playing, you know, pass line craps. That's something that you could show them too, that you can never lift the pass line, but you can lift the don't pass. And again, you know, if you're thinking about the strategy of the game, people would say that the math of the game, why would you ever lift the don't pass? But some people would say, well, I lift it because I prefer to play the pass line and the odds behind the pass line. So that's the next step. You know, you could show them how that works. Even though you have the same amount of money on the don't pass and the pass, you could then start to teach them odds behind the pass line, you know, one-time odds, two-time odds. And you could do the same thing with the don't pass. You know, you could show them how that works. So just tell the dealer, I'm working with my friend here, and I'm going to show him some of the basics of the game. So just if do anything, help us out. You know what I mean? So there you go. All right. Now let's talk about ICDC. Whoa. You want to hear this one? Little suspense, maybe. Well, you know, if you go on to YouTube and just search crap strategies, you'll see so many strategies in craps. And I'm telling you, I'm suggesting that you'll probably find the way you play, you know. So, all right, that may help you. You know, hey, other people play the way I play. But what's curious about searching the YouTube videos is that you'll see there's other ways to play. And I've came to that conclusion decades ago. There's other ways to play, especially when nights you lose or days you lose, you think, I wish I would have been playing the other way, you know. But what I think, I just made a list and I think, well, what do I like to do in craps? Like, how do I like to bet in craps? So I said, well, you know, I like to play the pass line. I like to play odds behind the pass line. I like to place numbers. I like to play hard numbers. Sometimes I like to play on the dark side too. So, you know, how could I do that? Like, how can I play all these different things at one time? And so what I started to do was I started to play 15-6. This is pretty much the basic way I've been playing in the last 2 months. $15 on the pass line. We're talking about the come out rule. And I like to hedge, so I hedge that with a $6 bet on freeway craps. So that's, you know, $2 on the 12, $2 on the 2, and $2 on the 3, you know, ace deuce. So that's the come out role for me. You know, so I can't lose. I'm either going to establish a point or I'm going to win on the 7, I'm going to win $9, or on the 11, I'll win $9. Or I'm going to hit freeway craps, and I'm going to win a little more, you know. So if for example, if somebody rolls boxcars, you know, it's a 12, you know, that would pay $60, but I'm going to lose the $2 that are bet, you know, on snake eyes, and I'm going to lose the $2 that I had bet on ace deuce. So that pays 56. I'm also losing the pass line bet of $15 for a total win of $41. So, you know, that's what's kind of fun. Like, on the come out roll, I'm more or less cheering. I'm cheering for a craps number to be rolled. And so just, you know, go over the math. Anyway, I just feel secure on 15-6. I like that. So if a point is established, then I will either just put $10 behind the line and go one roll. And the reason I don't do the next thing is seven and outs just kill me. So I don't want to place a DC bet on the first roll. What I'll do next, though, after that first roll, so let's say a 9 is the established point. I put $10 on the odds, and I wait one roll. So, you know, I'm just playing a 9 and the odds behind the pass line. But on the roll after the first roll, after the point is established, I'll place a DC bet. And I'm going to start my DC bets with $30. So I have a $30 DC bet. Now look, if a 7 is rolled, I'm going to lose the pass line, the odds behind the pass line, and the DC bet. If a yo is rolled, I'm going to lose the DC bet, but not the established point. So could I hedge it there? Yeah, I could. And as, if my DC bet was bigger, I might. But I'm just going to take the risk right there. So on the other hand, when I place that DC bet, if a 2 is rolled or a 3 is rolled, I'm going to win. You know, it's not going to affect my established point or the odds behind the pass line. I'm going to win. You know, that happens sometimes too. And again, you're going to push on a 12, so you just stay in there for another roll. But let's just say, you know, a 5 is rolled. So now I have basically a lay of the 5 for $30. Now, if a 5 is rolled, I'm not going to lose my pass line bet or the odds behind it, but I'm going to lose that $30. So why did I do that? Well, I took a little pressure off a 7 being rolled and hitting me, because if a 7's rolled, I'm going to win that DC bet. It's even money. I'm going to win. I can't remove it. I can't pick it up. I'm going to win that $30, and that's going to cover my loss on the pass line and the odds behind the pass line. And then after that DC number is established, and in this case, in my example, it's a 5, I play the Aaron Cross, and that's why I call it ICDC. All right, so the 5 is already there, so I'll bet 6, 8, and the field. And the 6, 8 bets have to be a little bigger than the field bets. So I usually start out with, at a $5 table, either $12 or $18 on the 6 and 8, and $5, $8, $10 on the field. So that's what I'll do, and I'll just hope to get a couple rolls. And if a 7 is rolled, you know, before the point number is rolled, I'm going to get some coverage. Unless a 5 is rolled, I'm going to get some coverage because I'm going to get $30 back on that DC bet. So it keeps me involved in the game. And as I start to accumulate some money, I'll increase all the bets. You know, I'll increase the odds behind the pass line. I won't increase the 15-6, but I'll increase the odds behind the pass line. I'll increase the size of the DC bet. And I'll start to play hard numbers. And for example, from the get-go, if the DC bet happens to be a 4, a 6, an 8, or a 10, I'll play the hard number. So let's say I have $30 and the DC bet is a 4 and it goes to the 4. So I laid the 4. So if a 4 is rolled, I lose. So I'll bet the hard 4 for $5, you know, so that would pay me. I'd still win money if a hard 4 is rolled, even though I'd lose the $30, you know. So that's how I think of it. And it just keeps me involved. So you can find videos that are close to this, I'm sure, on YouTube. Or you can just, if you have a craps cloth or something, you can just do that and practice it. But I have my own craps table. So I've been doing it this way, and I've been having a lot of fun with it. So, again, something that's, I guess, something peculiar about me. That first roll after the come-out rule, when the point's established, okay, so the come-out rule establishes a point. I hate to make a DC bet there because I'm fearful that the next roll, you know, that 7 and out on the first roll, that just sets me off. But as I increase the size of my DC bets, remember, I also increase, you know, press and press again the 6 and 8. And if the number 5 is available, if it's not a DC 5, then that's fun, huh? And then so if it's not DC 5, the Iron Cross numbers, I'll keep pressing those. So here's a good situation for me. So I could have, say, $30 on the 5 and $60 on the 6 and $60 on the 8 and $75 DC bet on the 4. And I'll place the field for $30 too, because if a 5 is rolled, it won't hurt me. I'll make a few bucks. But if the 6s are rolled, I'll make a whole lot more. So that's just a lot of fun that I have playing that way. And it makes it enjoyable for me. And when I get tired of doing it this way, I go back to doing something else I used to do. But I keep the passion for craps alive by playing different strategies. The experts who just play smart craps, they're missing a whole lot of fun, in my opinion. Because you can play smart craps for weeks and weeks and weeks and lose and lose and lose. Yeah, and so can I, doing the things that I do. But, again, it's recreational gambling, and I enjoy doing it. And so far, I have not lost with this ICDC. That's what I call it. And, you know, give it a try. Like, what the smoke? You might have some fun with it. So what you thinking? Okay, let me hear what you're thinking. And you can do that by calling our answering service. That's 1-724-519-4556. 1-724-519-4556. And please feel welcome to always check out our website. We put a lot of time into it. That's www.casinosusa.bet. CasinosUSA, one word, .bet, B-E-T. And, you know, you'll get pretty much a sense of what we're about and what we think in terms of recreational gaming, etc., with craps and other ways too. And we want you to enjoy that. And also, as most podcasts, you know, if you go to that webpage and you want to make a contribution via the Amazon link where you don't pay more but we get a slight kickback, that's appreciated. And also, if you just wanted to donate directly to Casinos USA for whatever reason, you can do that through PayPal and credit cards, just like everybody else who probably has a podcast and a web page at the same time. Remember, our podcasts are found on iHeartRadio, TuneIn Radio, Spreaker Radio, Stitcher Radio, MyTuner Radio, Google Play. We're now on SoundCloud, also iTunes Store, and our bi-monthly podcasts are popular and they keep increasing. But so far in 2017, we've had over 35,000 plays of our podcast, and all gets back to you, and we certainly appreciate that. So we're getting close to time to go, but I just have one or two more things to mention very quickly, so hang in there. Well, look, I know you're upset that it's time to go, but the point again of Casinos USA is life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, you know, to enjoy ourselves and have fun. And that's our high expectations when we go to casinos, that we're planning on having a good time, win or lose. And we don't let the game get out of control. And I want to remind everyone, you know, don't gamble money that you can't afford to lose. It's just something that would lead to sadness and despair. If you can't afford to put some money at risk and you enjoy yourself in a casino, whether it's blackjack or craps or roulette or any other table game, whether it's keno slots like our good caller friend Nick and his wife, that's great. Whether it's Atlantic City, Las Vegas, Iowa, Council Bluffs, wherever, you know, so wherever you enjoy going to casinos, just go and make it a hobby and have fun with it. And that's all we want you to do. It's about enjoyment. And, of course, winning money is sometimes a little more fun than losing it. And so cherish those good days. I told you that when I learned how to stop gambling when I think about the money I'm winning or losing in terms of things. And you can try that, right? If you have a problem quitting when you're ahead, or if you have a problem walking away when you're losing. Think about things that you could have bought with that money, or things that you will buy with that money. That's what works for me. Thanks for listening. We'll see you in 2 weeks.
Hey, every day is Saturday.